One of the most important elements in the interpretation and application of Scripture is to recognize and to take into account that no passage of Scripture stands on its own. C-I-E, context is everything. This is true everywhere. No verse, no paragraph, no story or teaching of Jesus stands on its own or apart from its context. This can be seen in many ways in which the various stories about the life and ministry, the teachings and healings of Jesus both relate to and function within the Gospels, and even between the Gospels. How Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell the same story can vary greatly. And we can learn a lot about the variance between how the stories are told. But they also can be very similar, and we can learn a lot about that too. Today we have a story about the exorcism of Legion. Demons. And demons are rather far from our modern context. It's part of an ancient context in the ancient world. It's a story that comes immediately following the story of Jesus calming the stormy sea. Now, the disciples' response to this amazing miracle where he has fallen asleep, he awakes in the midst of a storm. The disciples are terrified. They cry out that he says, "Ye of little faith," and then he calms the stormy sea, results in their asking a question. Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water? And they obey him. They've been amazed by his teaching and his healings. They've been amazed by his command over the elements of nature. And now today, we get to witness with them Jesus commanding even evil to be gone. Context is everything. Context teaches us how to read this passage. Again, we just left the story where Jesus calms the stormy sea. And our lives can be like stormy seas. Who here hasn't had a life or a day in their life or a week in their life, a month in their life, a whole year in their life, indeed their whole lives? Who here hasn't had at least some time in their life when it's been like a whole huge storm? I don't see any hands. Good. We've all had times when our lives have been stormy. Thunder and lightning and wind and rain and hail have abounded. We know what it's like to be caught amidst the stormy seas. One of my first times to go into the ocean, into the Gulf of Mexico, I was a kid, and we were on the Scat Cat, which was a catamaran fishing boat out of Galveston. And we went out into the stormy sea, and in the waves were rolling, the ship was rocking, and of course, what happened? Greg got seasick. Blech, all over the place. Just so happens that today I like to do my vacations at sea. That's weird in of itself. Nevertheless, context is everything. We've just come from this story where the disciples have been amazed at watching Jesus calm the stormy sea. We've seen them be amazed at his teaching. We've seen them be amazed at his healings. And today we get to see a deliverance of a man who is possessed by demons. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26 and following, it reads, "Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in the houses but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now I'm going to pause there and let's talk about legion. Now, a legion is a large unit of organization in the Roman army, numbering about 5,000 men, organized into 10 cohorts or battalions of about 500 men each. The reference, therefore, is that there are many, 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 many demons in this man. Usually when we hear about exorcisms in the Bible, we hear about a demon, one, being exorcised out of someone. And one is usually bad enough. A couple would be problematic, but thousands of demons? And these demons know who Jesus is. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." One of the great things about the gospel authors is that they have a sense of humor. In this story, it's clear because Jesus is doing that. He is tormenting them. They begged him to order them to go into the abyss. Why not? Demons preferred to wander around the world looking for people or things to consume. Let's pause on that one. In the ancient world, demons were considered to be fallen angels. Now, angels are spiritual beings. They are created by God to serve on God's staff to perform certain functions. You have those angels that are responsible for serving as soldiers. You have angels that are responsible to serve as messengers. You have angels even to serve as members of the choir. Yes. You have choir angels, the host of angels singing praises to God. You have these angels, they have their duties and their responsibilities. The warrior angels serve under Michael, their general. The messenger angels serve under Gabriel. We see Gabriel at work in the New Testament bringing the message of the birth of Jesus to Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. We even have, Lucifer mentioned, an archangel in charge of the choir. No pressure, no pressure. In Jewish angelology, these angels, those under the control of Lucifer, rebelled against God. And because Lucifer and his cohort rebelled against God, they got thrown out of heaven. A third of heaven was cast out down to earth, where they live and wander around as demons, fallen angels, looking for people to consume in order to survive, being separated from the power of God, being separated from the source of all life in God, having rebelled against God and been cast down out of heaven to earth, Satan and the demons seek humans to devour, to live upon, to consume. C.S. Lewis, in the Screwtape Letters, and if you haven't read it, it's an amazing read, describes this in chilling detail. Screwtape, who is a sort of senior administrative demon in charge of all these tempter demons that are going around tempting humans in the world, Screwtape is writing to his nephew, and he's trying to explain why they go about possessing people. And he says, to us, a human is primarily food. We want cattle who can finally become food. God wants servants who can finally become sons. We want to suck in. God wants to give out. We are empty and would be filled. God is full and flows over. Our war aim is a world in which our father below, that's Satan, has drawn all other beings into himself. God wants a world full of beings united to him in love, but still distinct. Ooh. That's how C.S. Lewis describes the purpose of demons. They're out there surviving, living, foraging, mooching off of us, eating our spiritual lives, destroying our spiritual existence to the betterment of their own. And that's the context, and that's the way of thinking that lies behind this story and the possession of people by demons. The demons are possessing people in order to continue to exist. This legion of demons, these 5,000 demons, are possessing this man in order to continue to exist. They don't want to go to the abyss. They're afraid of going to the abyss. They beg Jesus not to send them to the abyss. And they ask instead, now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding. Swine, that's pigs. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Jesus tricks them. And they end up in the abyss anyway. Destroyed. Wow. By going into the pigs, they could have continued to exist, they thought. They had begged Jesus for this. Jesus says yes. They go into the pigs, and they drive the pigs insane, and they go into the water, into the Sea of Galilee, and drown. Context is everything. What is legion for us? How do we understand this story of the deliverance of this man from demons by Jesus? He was infested by thousands of demons. What is your demon today? What plagues you with evil? What tempts you to go astray? What plagues you day and night? Elsewhere in Scripture, St. Paul the Apostle talks about a thorn that he had in his flesh that was tormenting him, that was whispering in his ear, you'll never be forgiven for having persecuted the church. And he goes to Jesus and he says, deliver me from this thorn in my flesh, from this messenger of Satan, from this demon. And Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. What messenger of Satan is plaguing you today? What temptation are you facing today? What demon? What desire? What thirst, what need, what hunger that you shouldn't have plagues you today? And I'm not talking about that plate of enchiladas over at Jalapenos, friends. That's too simple. I'm talking about sin. Something that we don't normally like to talk about in Methodist churches. Sin. What plagues you today? Now, it's easy to blame it on the demons. That's the temptation of this passage. For context, if you don't pay attention to it, it can get you into trouble. It's tempting to want to say, well, the devil made me do it. The demons made me do it. But no. Usually, we're responsible for our own failures. What legion of demons? What legion of desires? What legion of wants? What legion of sins plagues you today? As we discover in this passage, as the disciples have discovered that Jesus is the one who can calm the stormy seas, as we will discover in the next verses here in Luke's gospel in the chapter that follows, that this Jesus also can raise Jairus' daughter who was dead, and this Jesus can heal a woman who had been plagued by hemorrhages for years simply by her touching his garments, him. This Jesus, then, who simply speaks and it happens, this Jesus can deliver us from the legion that plagues us, from the army of the host of temptations that plagues us. So what plagues you today? What sin pesters you? What desire rears its ugly head repeatedly and causes you to want to go astray? We are in fear. We're like the disciples in fear in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm. The storm is raging, the thunder is sounding, the waves are rolling, the wind is blowing, the lightning is striking, and we are terrified. And it sometimes feels as though Jesus is sleeping. Likewise, we're struggling with life and living in the tombs, filled with legion. Sometimes we're filled with images, and sometimes we're dead. What faces you today, my sisters and brothers? What legion of temptations face you? Whatever they may be, wherever they may be in your life, whatever they may be doing to you or your family or your friends, no matter how painful they may be, no matter how deep they may be, no matter their cause, no matter their intent, Jesus is sufficient. Jesus can deliver. Jesus can calm the stormy sea. Jesus can heal the hemorrhage of life coming from us. Jesus can deliver us from legion. Now, for some of us, we're plagued by legions of fear. Fear that come from places we can comprehend and understand. Fear, we would be ill-advised to ignore the fear. The fear of the future, the fear of what the surgery is going to be like. The fear of that next pain in your hip. The fear of the tax man or woman. The fear of the future. Don't ignore it. Give it to Jesus. The illness that we have, the pain that we suffer. We talked last Sunday about suffering and how we suffer in this life. Give it to Jesus. We talk about those things that we know we shouldn't do, that we find ourselves doing. Those sins that plague us continually, that even despite them, Jesus declares us righteous. We still do them. We want to get rid of them. Give them to Jesus. If Jesus could handle the stormy sea, if Jesus could handle a legion of demons, if Jesus can raise Jairus' daughter and cleanse the woman with the hemorrhages, Jesus can handle us. Jesus can care for us. The story continues. When the swineherders saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Will we do the same? Having had the stormy seas calmed, having had the legion of demons cast out, having been raised, having been healed of hemorrhages of life, will we do the same? Will we go forth and proclaim what Jesus has done for us? When we join the church, we promise to support it through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Will we witness to what God has done for us through the love of Jesus Christ in our lives to others? Will we witness to the amazing miracle of deliverance that Jesus has worked in our lives? My friends, we've got to do that. We must do that. We must respond as this man did and go forth proclaiming the miracle that God has worked in our lives in Jesus Christ. The miracle of deliverance that each of us has experienced. Let's go forth and do that. Having been delivered from legion, let's go forth and do that and proclaim the good news of God's love for all, to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. In your prayer.